We're good to go? Cool. Let's get started. We have a lot of stuff to cover today, and I'm pretty excited to tell you all about all of the cool new features we've built. So my name is Andrew Salamatov. I'm a program manager on the Exchange Extensibility team. I've been working on mail apps for the past 3 years or so. So I worked on the first version that we shipped last year. And today I'm going to tell you all about all of the really cool and new things we've done in the past 9 months some of the really awesome scenarios you guys can build. So before we get started, I'm actually a little curious about the audience. So maybe you could tell me a little bit about yourselves. Out of curiosity, how many of you have never heard of mail apps? And this is the first time you're seeing mail apps. Okay, so we have a couple of people. And how many of you have heard of mail apps, but you haven't really played around with them, you don't really know what they're about? So, okay, a few more. How many have built a mail app, and you guys, or you guys looked at documentation and you know exactly what you're doing? Okay, cool. So there are a few in the audience. So I guess let's begin with a very brief intro as to what we shipped in V1 to bring everybody up to speed and on the same level. One more question. How many of you are in IT and you're more interested in what this means for my users or what this means for me rather than building them? Okay, so there are a few. Cool. So what did we ship in V1? So in 2013, Office 2013 and Exchange 2013, which shipped about a year ago, a little over a year ago now, we shipped this brand new extensibility model for Outlook. Now I say Outlook, but really I mean Outlook rich client on the desktop, I mean Outlook web app, and I mean OWA app for the iPhone and iPad. And so this new extensibility model is based on web technologies. We call them apps, mail apps for developer is a term we use for developers, or apps for Outlook is the term that's used for end users and IT. And so I'll use those terms interchangeably. It's the same thing. So these apps, they're based on web technologies. And an app is nothing more than an HTML web page that's hosted by the developer. And then Outlook client frames it into itself. So it creates a frame or a window into that HTML app. Now, the really cool part about that is that now apps are very loosely coupled with clients. So the Outlook client can evolve on its own, and the app can evolve on its own. And they don't interfere with each other, which wasn't the case with add-ins or forms extensibility, if some of you are aware of those. And finally, the goal of the first version of the platform was to enable developers to build these contextual apps. This means that apps are meant to, in V1, are meant to provide actions or information that's contextual to the current message or appointment. And they're really meant to help the user get the current task done, the task that's associated with the message. For this reason, we enabled apps to appear contextually based on entities, such as presence of a postal address or a meeting suggestion, or patterns, such as doing your regular expression. Or in some cases, apps could activate or appear just on every single message. And so one of those examples you're looking at right here in the screenshot, this is a screenshot of a LinkedIn app. And so the point there is that anytime you want to learn more information about the current people on this thread, the recipients on the message, you just open the LinkedIn app and then click on the person, and there you go. And now you have all of their LinkedIn information. Now, in terms of the key value points, there are really three main ones to think about. So, first of all, this new platform is cross-platform, and that means so the same exact app that you write will run in Outlook, Outlook web app, and also the OWA app for iPhone and iPad. But it's also cross-items, so the same exact app will also work in messages or appointments. And it's a very powerful model because in the past, you had to build forms for OWA, and then you had to do add-ins for Outlook, and you had to manage multiple code bases, and deployment was just extremely challenging. And so the second key advantage is this notion of loosely coupled with client versions. Once the app is installed, no code is ever installed in Exchange, no code is ever installed on the client. All of the HTML and JavaScript is always running on the developer server. The only thing that's registered with the mailbox is a reference to the app, and then the client goes ahead and just sources in the HTML. So that enables us to be very loosely coupled. Outlook can upgrade its versions. The developer can change versions of their app whenever they want. And the two don't interfere. The IT admin doesn't have to go and reinstall the app again once the developer built it. And the final point, and this is something new. This is actually very interesting. This goes along the lines of IT consumerization. We enabled end users to go ahead and acquire apps for themselves. Now, obviously, we put in a lot of walls around that because we really wanted to make sure we protect our users. So end users can only acquire apps from the Office store, and even then, apps that can only access some data. However, admins can do some more interesting features. So admins can go ahead and install an app from the store for all of their users. Or an admin can install an internally developed app only for his own org, and then the app doesn't have to be in the store at all. So we enabled admins to and users to have multiple permissions and power around installing apps. And actually, diving into that a little bit, again, as I mentioned, end users can install apps from the marketplace, and they can also enable or disable apps that were installed by admins for them. Administrators have a lot more power. They can install apps from the marketplace or an individual app that was built either in-house or by some ISV. And they can install apps for an individual user, a subset of users, the entire organization. There are commandlets for that. Admins can block users entirely from installing or using apps. And if this is something that's very important to your org, or if some users shouldn't be able to install apps, you have power over that. And finally, if an administrator wants to hand off the powers to install apps for groups of users, you can do that too. So if you want to nominate somebody in your organization and say, hey, you're going to manage apps, you're going to be the person dealing with apps, that's okay too. You can hand off, there's a special role for that, and you can hand off those permissions. And real quick on those admin actions, I'm not going to go through these commandlets individually, but this is a very useful set of commandlets that administrators can use to manage apps. There is a lot of documentation at the link posted below. And so I encourage you to just take a look at that, or you can take a picture or come back to my slides whenever, once they're posted on the session. All right, so we talked about the platform and what we shipped in V1. What's new? What have we been up to for the past 9 months? And so there are three main topics we're going to talk about today. There are three main large or very important parts. The first one is body and attachment access. Now, apps in V1 did have a way to access both body and attachment, but it was a very complex and a terrible way to do it. And the worst case scenario was that end users themselves could not install apps that access attachments. The second part is that we've enabled commerce for mail apps. So in V1, developers could not sell apps in the store. This has changed since. Now if you're a developer, you want to go build an app, go for it, put it up in the store, and you can make money off of it. And the third one, and this is going to be the highlight of today's talk, I'll spend the most amount of time on it, the last one is all about Compose. So we've very recently announced a brand new feature. It's called Compose Apps. I'll call them Compose Apps, Compose Mail Apps. It's all the same thing. But now apps can appear while users are writing a message or an appointment. So let's talk about body and attachment access first. And I think the best way to introduce why we did a lot of work here and why this is important is by showing you guys actually an interesting demo that utilizes this feature. And so I'm going to switch to my laptop. And here you're actually looking at a DocuSign. Now, this app is in our store right now. It's been revamped since they first launched it as well. They just launched, they just shipped an update about a couple of weeks ago. And for those of you who are not familiar with DocuSign, what's the point? Well, the point is that if I get an email with somebody asking me, hey, Andrew, can you go and sign this contract for me? In the past, and this is very common in legal departments, in the past, what I would have to do is download this attachment, save it locally, go print it out, sign it, scan it, email it to myself, and then email it back. And this is just an extremely painful way to do things. I mean, legal process and like going through those documents is already painful enough. Hey, why are we making it even worse? So what's the point of the DocuSign app? Well, if there's an attachment on this message, which there is, you can see it up here, I can just click a button that says sign attachment, log into, did I lose connection? Let's try that again. Give it a moment to log into DocuSign. Load the attachment. Click and drag my signature on the line. Hit finish, yes, and then go through one more screen. But here I can actually click Composer Apply. Pop open a new window. And you're actually looking at the document that I just signed. Literally, that's all it took. So now if I send this back to the person that asked me to sign it, now they have a link to the signed document. This is what you can do with mail apps. You can significantly increase productivity of users. But there are other scenarios why using attachments or accessing attachments might be interesting. So let me show you one more scenario. And this is something that our partners Harmony built. And it's also in the store today. So maybe for some attachments, I want to actually save it off into SharePoint. Maybe my team uses a specific SharePoint site or a document site, and I need to drop all of the documents that I get into the site. Or maybe I have my own personal site where I want to save off attachments that I receive from external users. You know, if they're internal, yeah, they'll just send me the link, as you guys saw with document collaboration. But if they're external to me, I still get the attachment. So how would I do that? Well, with an app like Harmony, just select, hit next, select the site, and you guys get the point. Figure out a document library and save it to the SharePoint location. So these are the kinds of scenarios that we can build by accessing attachments. So what did we do? Well, let's take a quick look at what the story was like in RTM when we first shipped it. And what were the problems that we're trying to solve? So the initial problem is in order to access attachments, the app had to forward the message to an SMTP endpoint. There was no API to access attachments. You had to forward this attachment, you had to forward the entire message to the SMTP endpoint. You had to put up an code that parses the message, extracts the attachment. The user, if he goes to his sent items folder, sees that for some reason some of the messages are being sent to this weird endpoint address, and so they're probably getting freaked out, calling up admin or support. But worst case, the app required the highest permission level in order to be able to forward the message. And this made the app admin installable only. So now the wonderful scenario of DocuSign, your end user cannot install it. He has to go and bug IT and explain to them, hey, so there's this awesome DocuSign app, and I would really like to install it, and this is what it does. And really bother admins with something that an end user should be able to do. So we had two goals that we wanted to solve. The first one is that end users should be able to install apps, so whatever architecture, whatever design we come up with for accessing attachments, end user apps must be able to access the body or attachments. And second of all, we wanted to optimize for client bytes over the wire. And so what does that mean? Well, that means that if the attachment is necessary in the back end anyway, like Harmony grabs the attachment and then saves it off to SharePoint, DocuSign grabs the attachment, saves it in DocuSign. If the attachment bytes themselves are necessary in the back-end server, then don't stream the attachment from Exchange into OWA, into the app, and then from the app back down. Provide a way for the app's back-end to just go into Exchange, extract the attachment, and save it wherever it needs to. And so that's exactly what our design is. We provide a JavaScript API to access attachment metadata, a callback token, more on that later, and an EWS URL. And so the app grabs that information, passes it over to its backend, and now on the backend side, the app can use this callback token to call into Exchange, use it to authenticate, make a get attachments request, and it has the attachment ID, and so now you can grab it. And so one last slide before I actually show you how this works. A couple of notes on the callback token. So the point of this callback token is to extend the concept that apps can access or read any property on the current item that the app was opened on. This means that the callback token is item and session bound. Now, item bound meaning that the operation get attachments or get body, because body is still a property on the current message, that operation can only be done against this item. So you can't use a callback token to go and do any other EWS operations. And session bound, I put in quotes, ideally we would only make it possible to call get attachments while the app is open. But that's actually very, very difficult for us to do. So we approximated. We just made this callback token valid for 5 minutes. And if it expires, the app can, and the app is still open, it can just go and request a new one. So, and finally, the allowed APIs are get attachments and get items. So now you can get the entire item with all of its properties, and an end user can install this app. Okay, so I think enough talking. Let's actually see what this will look like. Okay, and so I have Visual Studio 2013 open at the moment, so I'm going to create a new project. Select Apps for Office, and I'll name this Attachment Sample. And I'll select Mail App. And for those of you who've used Visual Studio to develop Mail Apps before, you'll notice that now we have a new screen that says, where do you want the Mail App to appear? Well, we're going to deal with attachments and saving attachments off of the current message we're reading. So I'm going to unselect Compose and only leave Read Form selected and hit Finish. And then give it a moment to finish creating the project. There we go. And so this is a default template that we provide. So it's actually quite interesting. If we take a look at, and let me increase the font. If we take a look at what we create by default in the default template, you'll see that we have, we print out the subject and we print out the from field. And so I'll add a couple of more fields that are going to be just about attachments here. So let me add the name. We'll add type, and we'll add size. So attachment name, and we'll call this attachment size. And attachment type. Great. Now let me go into app read folder. This is the folder where the JavaScript is going to live. Again, it's just part of our project template. And so this is home.html, so this was this file. And home.js is the associated JavaScript file that goes along with that with the HTML. And this is where the business logic lives. So this is where we interact with the Office JavaScript APIs and actually display or work with attachments and any other API. And so here you'll notice office.initialize. This is a necessary function. Just like in jQuery, this is the function that's used to initialize our APIs. But then we'll go on to the actual bulk of the code. So inside this initialize function, we invoke display item details. And this is where the template sets the subject. So this is what we'll work with. So I'll do a similar thing, but first let me grab, actually, dot. And so what you'll notice in this line is maybe something new that you haven't seen before with JavaScript. We've introduced the casting function. Now, why is casting necessary, you may ask? Well, that's because the item object is dynamic. It the item can be a message or it can be an appointment. And there are different properties that are available to the item depending on if it's a message or an appointment. Likewise, the item can be either in read or compose mode. And there are different methods and properties available in both read and compose mode. So in this case, we're casting the item to read to make sure that the IntelliSense provides us only the methods and properties that are available to read items. Otherwise, it'll just be confusing us. So here, I'm going to create or to set the attachment name. And this will be item.attachments. Name. And the thing to pay attention to here is that these are all very simple lines of code. There's nothing complex. It's all one-liner. If you want to access the attachment size, it's the same approach as before. We just type in size. And finally, we'll get the attachment type. Sub 0. And we're done. Now, if I wanted to access the URL, the EWS URL, which one to hit in order to grab the attachment, the code would be office.context.mailbox.EWSURL. So the property is there. And if I wanted to get the callback token, it would be .get callback token async, and then here, function async result, and then ar.value. This would give us the callback token. Both the AWS URL and the callback token are pretty large, so I'm not going to print it out to the app because it's just going to take up a lot of lines. But this is how we access them. So it's a very, very simple call. OK, so let's actually run this, try it out real quick. So the first thing that's happening is that Visual Studio is asking me, OK, provide me Exchange credentials. Why? Well, because we need to install the Mail app into an Exchange server. So I need to give it some mailbox to install the app into. And I have a test account, andreasa@magiclabs.onmicrosoft.com. You can create your own very quickly as well. And then here is a password, and then we connect. And so what it's doing here is Visual Studio's auto-discovering the Exchange Web Services URL. Then it's invoking an EWS method to install the app. Then from the auto-discover URL, it knows my OWA URL. So it launches the browser. It takes me to the OWA. And now finally, we've logged in. And so let me click on this guy. And we never sent that message, but I'm going to discard it. And here is our attachment sample. So I'll click on attachment sample. And here we can see the name, contract.doc. We can see the size. We can see the type is file. What does type mean? Well, you could attach a message, or you could attach an appointment. You could attach a contact. So the type is the type of the attachment. This tells you it's a file attachment. OK, great. So very simple demo. We got that working. How do we download the attachment? How do we actually save it? What would that look like? Well, let me show you. And to download the attachment, in the interest of time, I'm not going to write all of the code. There is a little bit that needs to happen here. So instead, I'll walk you through my sample. And then all of my samples I'll actually post to the Yammer session. So you can just grab my code and mess with it all you want. But let me point out the main aspects of this of the sample. It's going to be interesting here. So in the HTML, this is the same HTML that we just saw in the previous sample. So in the HTML, I have a button that says get attachment. If we go to the button definition, let me increase the size. So if we go to the button and see what it does, this is the get attachment code. Again, it's very simple. We grab the attachment ID. That's how you get the attachment ID. We get the EWS URL. We get the callback token. And then in the callback function, this is an asynchronous function because the call has to go to Exchange, and Exchange mints us the token. So then in the callback function, now we create this little data object. And we set the the auth token, the attachment ID, the EWS URL, and would do a send request. Now here I'm using the new web API model. You could use WCF, but we're really encouraging developers to switch to web API. And so what I did is I pre-built a controller. I'm not going to show you how to create a controller, but I will point you to an awesome blog done by one of my colleagues that walks you step by step through creating this web API controller. But once you create the controller, it's going to look something like this. And so here, I have the getAttachment method. This is where the request comes in. And so we create an instance of an attachment. This instance accepts in the attachment ID, auth token, and EWS URL. This is all from the request. So this is all that the JavaScript is sending, these parameters. All of that is passed into the method. And this is the bulk of the code. So here we create the EWS SOAP XML request. Again, I'll post this so you can just copy it off of me. You can see on this line here, this is the attachment ID. So this is the attachment ID from the request that we set. Then here we set the auth token. Here I'm preparing the web request. And finally, I am setting EWS URL over here where I'm initializing the web request. So now that we've created the web request, set all of the appropriate parameters, next step is to just send the request, and then we process the response, and we do something with it. And so in this code, what we're going to do is we're actually going to save the attachment locally. So let's try it out. So same thing, is going to discover my settings and then launch web browser 4S. And I'll hit sign in. Download attachment, and so here we have the get attachment button. Now this is the folder location, so it's empty for now, but that's where we'll save it. So I'll hit get attachment, give it a moment. So success, file saved, and then here we see the contract. Okay, so we save the attachment. What next? Well, we save the attachment. Let's do something more interesting. Let's do the final step of actually saving it somewhere. Let's save it to SharePoint, to OneDrive. So a great scenario for that might be, well, my friend Jason Henderson forwarded me the Autodiscover song written by David Sterling a while back. And it's like, oh, hey, it's an awesome memento. And I want to save it off into SharePoint to make sure I don't lose it. So how would we do that? How would we write that code? Well, I'll show you the demo. But real quick, there are a couple of steps that we have to understand with saving attachments to OneDrive or to SharePoint. So in order to be able to do this, we're going to leverage new set of file APIs, and we're going to leverage this new concept called a web server app. This concept exists in Office 365, so it's not present on premises yet. So this code is only going to work against Office 365. And as I mentioned previously, I will upload this code as well, so you can just rip it off if you want and try it out on your own. But there are going to be three main steps. The first step is going to be to register the mail app as a web server app. And that step I've already done. And if you're interested in how to do it, I'll point you to documentation. Or there was a talk yesterday morning that also showed how to do this. And the second step, the user will grant permissions via OAuth. And this is going to be a very standard OAuth flow. And then finally, in the last step, now that the user granted permissions and we have a token, now we just call into OneDrive, and so that's what I'll show you how to do. So real quick, how does OAuth flow work? I've actually hand wrote it in. If you look at other Microsoft examples, what you'll notice is a lot of MVC work. So you'll see a lot of examples showing you how to do this using MVC and using code behind to access the access token. In my sample, I actually do it using pure HTML and JavaScript. Why? Because the mail app project is not an MVC project. It's just a very simple web project. But if you were coding this on your own, this is exactly how you would do it. So we'll give a little launch OAuth button to the user. User will click it, and we'll take them to Azure AD. It's a static website. And the user will be asked to grant consent. If the user clicks grant consent, then the standard OAuth flow says that now we need to redirect the user back to the app's page. And now, because it's the app's page, now the app can grab the access code out of the page and then pass it to its backend. And then from the backend, you can now go and exchange it for a refresh and an access token. And now with the access token, we can call into SharePoint. Pretty standard OAuth. There are a couple of handshakes going on there, some data exchange. Take a look at the documentation or some of the other talks of ours. But this is the basics here. So let's take a look at how this would work. And let me close this guy. And finally open our attachments demo. Now, in the interest of time, I'm not going to be able to walk through all of the code. Again, I'll post everything. But what I will say is that the call is actually quite simple. We had to create an extra controller to handle OAuth for us, and I had to create an extra HTML page called this OAuth redirect page, and this is where I have the JavaScript to grab the access code out of. But when you run this code, and you'd have to pre-provision with your own client ID and client secret from Windows Azure. So when you run this sample, what you'll end up with is logging into OAuth. And let me just open my OneDrive real quick. We'll end up with a sample like this. And so this is our attachments demo. This is OneDrive for Business, so it's completely blank here. So here I have to hit provide permission and watch the window. And here's where the redirect happened. It was very quick. We redirected from Azure AD back to our page. Now you might ask, OK, Andrew, where's the grant button? You said that there would be a grant consent button. I did this demo about 100 times and deleting the delegation that says my app can actually do this is a little involved, so I didn't delete it. But the first time around, yes, you would have seen the grant, and I would have had to grant access. But here we see that we have the token on the back end, and now I click the Save Attachment to OneDrive button. And this is grabbing the attachment right now, so first it's downloading it from Exchange locally, and then it's going to upload into my OneDrive. So it says that we were successful. Where's the attachment? Well, let's refresh the OneDrive. And now we can validate that this indeed downloaded safely. Has anyone ever heard this?
Yeah?
Yeah, you know, it's fantastic. One of our developers was working on AutoDiscover for a little too long, and so he felt that he needed to share the love with everybody else. So. It's actually posted on the web, so you can go and find it if you're interested. Okay, enough. Back. Yeah, so that was attachments. So that's how you do it. This is how you interact and you work and you deal with attachments in mail apps. In terms of documentation, I highly recommend taking a look at all of these links. And then EXT301, the session happened yesterday morning. You can jump on that, and you can see a little more about website app registration. And then we have another talk later today, building a business process app. It's going to also show another example, showing a more complex app that's going to have a mobile aspect to it, and it'll have a mail app aspect to it, and it'll connect to Office 365 APIs. And finally, I'll post the code to the Yammer session for this session. Okay, the next important feature that we worked on in the past 9 months since shipping V1 was commerce. And this one I'm going to go through very quickly. The point is you can now sell your apps. You can sell your apps on a subscription basis. You can sell your apps individually. You can continue listing them for free if you like. You, the developer, have to take care of entitlement, so you have to validate it server-side. And we have a wonderful documentation link for you guys to check out if you're interested in selling apps and how you would do validation. So go out, build, and go sell. And that's as much as I'll talk on this topic for. But finally, let's get to the really exciting stuff, the Compose apps that we've built. And I think the best way to introduce Compose apps is to actually just show you guys some interesting scenarios and some cool things that we've built ourselves. And so let me switch back to my screen. And so here we're looking at a Compose form, Outlook Web App Compose form. Now, the main thing that we notice is this apps button up in the top. And this is where Compose apps are found. So if I click on this, now I have two apps available to me, My Templates or Voting. My Templates is an app that we actually built ourselves internally. And so what's the point? Well, let's say I get an email from Jason. He says, hey, Andrew, could you forward me the link to Mail Apps documentation? Now, I don't know about you guys. I get requests like this at least once, if not two or three times a day. Hey, Andrew, where's the link to your spec? Hey, Andrew, where's this documentation? Hey, where can I find this presentation? Well, so usually what I have to do is I have to go fire up my favorite web browser, open my favorites link, click on it, and then copy the address out of there, switch back into Outlook, and paste it in. And if I'm sitting on my mobile phone and I get this email, it's like bugging me so much because I'm looking at it, I was like, ah, I don't know the URL, but now I have this stupid email stuck in my mailbox, and I don't know about you guys, I'm OCD and I can't stand a big mailbox. So I try to get rid of everything out of my inbox. So, hey, so we built this My Templates app, which allows you to create your own templates. And so here I can just save anything I want, and I'll hit cancel instead. But here, to reply to Jason, with a click of a button, I can just insert the link. And then I'll hit send. And now I'm done. And the other cool thing is that, as I mentioned, apps work not just on desktop, but they're also on mobile as well. And so here, you're seeing actually OWA loaded up on my Windows phone. Yes, OWA does work on Windows phone. So I'll click the Apps button, I'll click my templates, and I'll click on Mail Apps, and I'll close the app, and there it is, and the link is inserted. So now I can also do it off of my phone. The same app, it is just one app, My Templates. That same exact logic, that same exact JavaScript that I was showing you in attachments works on desktop, on tablet, on phone, rich client, web client, all kinds of Outlook clients. But we can do even more interesting. So here, I just showed you a simple saving of a link. But let's say that I wanted to create a more complex template. Let's say that I wanted to create some sort of an announcement template, right? Let's say that I send out, I work in the marketing department, and I send out lots of invites. Let me silence this. Let's say that I send out lots of invites to some sort of events. And so I really would like to be able to reuse some sort of a template. Well, Word, and I can grab a template and create a template anywhere, but I'll just show you a very simple example. Word has this campus band battle template that it creates. Now, the great thing is that it's an HTML template, and which means that we can just paste it in and create a template out of this. And save it, and hit insert, and then just insert it. So not only can you insert text or links, you can actually insert complex HTML, and I can edit this. I can change, I don't know what your favorite band is. There we go, campus YouTube battle. But I can edit this. And so now I can insert a template and quickly edit and work with it. And this is the power of Compose apps, is that you can insert and modify actual HTML, make really rich content and rich messages. Okay. So these are Compose apps. Before we jump into building Compose apps, let's just talk briefly about the three aspects around Compose apps. So the first and the main three ones are activation, or when Compose apps are available and when they appear, their capabilities, and finally the security model or the permissions for Compose apps. So in terms of activation, it's very simple. A compose app. So whereas in read, the developer can specify, well, show this app only when there is a regex match or whenever there's an entity present, like a postal address. In compose, it's very simple. Either appear in messages or you appear in appointments, or both, or none. And that's it. We did this because we didn't want apps to become available if a user typed something in, then disappear, and then appear again, then disappear again. So at least for the first version of compose apps, we really wanted to make it quite simple. But then the second part is that apps can also appear now in read or compose. So you can have the same exact app appear in a message while you're reading a message or writing a message. And compose apps, again, are across desktop, tablet, and mobile. And what's the power? Like, why would I want my compose app to appear in a message that I'm reading and later that I'm composing? Well, I can also demonstrate that via a quick demo. And this is an app that we built internally. And so let me switch back into Outlook. Give it a moment to log in. And retrieve my apps. So we built this voting app. Now Outlook has voting buttons. But what Outlook doesn't let you do is ask multiple questions or maybe have more complex results. Nor do you have voting buttons in OAuth. But using your Compose app, you can actually build one, and it's quite simple. So here I might ask, when would you like to get dinner? And so Monday or Tuesday. And I could add another question and ask two questions. And so where? I don't know, maybe barbecue or Chinese food, maybe a burger. But now I can save the questions and send them off to someone. And I'll send them to myself just so that you guys can see the end result of it. Just hit the send button. Now I'll give it a moment to actually arrive. So that was the voting app while I was composing a message. But now I can use it on read, and here I can vote. So I want to grab dinner on Tuesday, and maybe I want to grab some barbecue. And that's an example of an app that activates in both compose and read. It has two aspects to it. And so your users can either use it to send out surveys or to respond to surveys. And again, pay attention to just how simple and how streamlined the entire process is. Okay. So activation, apps appear in messages or appointments and across all form factors. What can Compose apps do? So there is a number of things they can do. First of all, they have access to the core JavaScript APIs that the apps that read apps have access to. So it's user identity token for single sign-on, make AWS requests, settings for saving, storing some data. That's where we store templates. User profile object to get to know the users. You can ask him for, you can ask and get the user's time zone for localization, email address, or name. The rest of the APIs, the easiest way to think about them is what you see is what you can read or edit. So recipients and subject, yes, you can either read, you can get who the recipients or you can set the recipients. Same thing with the subject. You can add new file or item attachments. You can't read file attachments, but you can add new ones, so either a file or an item attachment. You can write to the body. Now, today, write to the body is rudimentary, but at the same time, still very powerful. So you can't read the body, but you can prepend to the top of the body, or you can overwrite the current selection. What that means is that you can write to wherever the cursor currently is located. You can, if this was an appointment, then apps can get or set the start or end time, or they can get or set the location, again, interact with attendees. And finally, we have this notion of custom properties. Now, this isn't exact access to the mappy properties that you guys might be thinking of. This is very similar to what we do with read apps. And in read apps, it's basically a property bag. Really think of it like a dictionary of key value pairs. We save it in a special way on the item, but all that apps have to worry about is the fact that this is just a dictionary of key value pairs. And why would this be interesting? Well, if I'm tracking a message in CRM and I click, yes, track this message, now you can mark this message as being tracked. And the property is saved on the sent item so that if I ever bring this item back up again, I can take a look at it and, yeah, I did track this message in CRM. Great. Finally, security. That did not advance. Let's try again. OK, there we go. And finally, security. For those of you familiar with the read apps, permissions format, you'll remember that before we had three permission levels. So we had restricted, that was the most restricting. Then we had read item, and that gave apps access to all of the JavaScript and all the APIs on the current item, but nothing more. And then we had read write mailbox, and that gave apps access to some simple AWS methods. The new one that we introduced is called read write item, and that's really an extension of read item, except if your app activates in Compose, you can now also write to the item. You don't need to request this if you're activating your app only in messages that are being read. It's just not valuable. You're not going to be able to do anything else. But if you're in Compose, you do need to ask for read-write item. Otherwise, you won't be able to call any of the SEP methods. All right, let's take a look at how do we build a Compose app. So I'm going to create, I'm going to switch to my demo machine, and I'll create a new project. App for Office. We'll call this Compose Sample. And we'll select Mail App. Next. And I'll just say compose form, so we don't need to activate and read. Finish. Now, for those of you who have looked at our manifest before, while this thing is loading up, we did change the manifest, so we shipped a new version of it. It's manifest 1.1. The schema is a little bit different, so you have to take a look at it. You can't take a 1.0 manifest and edit it in a way that all of a sudden would support compose. You do have to use 1.1 schema in order to have the compose functionality. And obviously, Compose is only introduced in SP1 clients, so it's in SP1 OWA and SP1 Outlook. So Outlook RTM and OWA RTM do not support Compose apps. But this is our template. So this is the Compose template. So now we have app compose instead of app read, as you remember, and we have still home.js here. So the default template provides us a couple of buttons. It sets the subject, gets the subject, adds to recipients. So let's add a few more buttons to do something interesting. So we can add a button to set the body. So we can say set body right to body. We can add a button that adds a file attachment. So add attachment. And why don't we add a button that sets the start time if this was an appointment? Start. Great. And then in the, so we'll save this, and then in the JavaScript section, we'll do a similar thing. So first of all, let's hook up the onClick events. So here I'll hook up the set. I can never remember how I call these. Yeah. Just following convention. So set body. And then set and then add attachment. And then finally set start. And let me just make sure that I typed all of this correctly. So yes, capital B, add attachment, set body, set start. Set body, add attachment, set start. Good. And now let's take a look at what the code would look like. So here again, we're using the casting function. Again, it's only useful in Visual Studio. If you're not using Visual Studio, don't bother using this function. It only works for IntelliSense in Visual Studio. It actually doesn't do anything. It's just that it helps our IntelliSense engine figure out the right IntelliSense. But it's a no-op in JavaScript. And so once we've casted to compose, to get the subject, we just do subject dot, or to set the subject, we just do subject dot set async, and we pass in the new string, and that will overwrite it. Now, to get the subject, it's an asynchronous function. You have to call get async. If you've built read apps before, you'll say, well, wait a second, but we had just a simple property before. We could call dot subject and get the subject. Yes, but in read, the subject cannot change on you. In compose, the user can type up a subject, open the app, have the app do something, then go back and he can change the subject. So we don't have events yet. That's something that's very interesting for us, but at least we do have an asynchronous way to grab the subject. So the app can always get the latest, the current subject. And so that's why you'll see a lot of asynchronous APIs in for compose apps. So that's how we get the subject, again, result, and then is the call is the parameter to the callback function, and then here we do the result at value. For recipients, you can call to, and then you can add async, or you can just set it and overwrite it entirely, or you can get them. Let's work a little bit with the functions that we've designed. So the first one is the body one, so set body. And so I'll do the same thing, office.cast item dot to item compose dot context mailbox dot item dot body and then set selected data async, and this is the method to actually set the data where the cursor is blinking. If you wanted to prepend, you can just call prepend async, but we're going to set it. And to set the data, I'll show you guys how to do HTML. So I'll say hello, and then we'll do very basic HTML world. And the trick here is that we need to specify an extra parameter. It's called the coercion type. And this tells Owa to treat this as HTML. So that's the body. And then we also have add attachment. And I'll just simplify this one. So office.context.mailbox item.add file. So now here we have an option. We can either set the item attachment or the file attachment. Item attachment, you need to provide the AWS ID of the item that you want to attach. Or for a file attachment, if we want to attach it, you actually have to provide a URL where to get the attachment. Again, using the same concept as we had with accessing attachments in read, we didn't want the app to take attachment bytes from its backend, stream to the app, stream into Owa, stream back down to Exchange. Rather, we just wanted to have the app an ability, a way, we wanted to give an app a way to tell Exchange, hey, Exchange, go get this attachment that's located right here. And this way we save all of this byte transfer. And so I need to give it a URL. So I have a simple URL prepared, so I'll just paste this one in. And I have to give it a name as well, and we'll call it what it is. And the last one is to set the start time. And here we'll call variable d is a so we'll set 6 a.m. meeting, and finally office.context.mailbox.item.start. Dot set async. Pretty simple. And so now let's try running this. Give it a moment to discover. Log in. and then launch our app. And this is our compose sample as before. And so here's the sample. So set subject, that was part of the template. Click on set subject, and we see hello world. And I'll change the subject real quick. Click on get subject. And so that's, we can see grabbing the subject. So it's different now than it was before. We can add ourselves to the recipients list. So that was invoking, let me show you the code, actually. That was invoking the 2.addAsync. What you'll notice is that we add an array of email addresses. There are a number of things that that method accepts, but one of them is an array of email addresses. So we have the we added ourselves to the recipients list, can write to the body. And so here you can see the first part is not bolded. The last part is hello world. The world part is bolded. And finally, we can also add the attachment. And so this one we just grabbed from the web. And so I'll click on it real quick just to show that we actually added bytes. And there we go. We got some puppies there. And finally, as I mentioned, all of this works in Calendar as well. So I'll just show you very quickly in Calendar, launch the same app. And I'll watch the start time, because it's going to change very quickly. So I'll hit set start. And you can see it changed to 6. And that's because in our code, we also set it to 6. So the main takeaway from the code is that it's very simple to write. The vast majority of the logic is going to be to interacting with the APIs is going to be just very like one lines of code, very simple. And then the bulk of the code is always going to be the business logic and the UX and the UI that you write. So I want to close with this. When we set out to build Compose apps, we thought of a lot of different scenarios. We sat down, we thought about it a lot. And whatever we came up with, I know that you guys will just come up with so many more cool and really interesting and fascinating scenarios than whatever we could even possibly imagine. But to start with, to get your mind thinking about, you know, what can you build? What kind of opportunities are there? We did compile together a few scenarios just to kind of get you thinking about this. And so we bucketed them into a couple of different categories or classes of scenarios. And the first one that we thought of was around assisting with writing a message. And so you already saw today using my templates to help a user add frequently written snippets. But you could also imagine other kinds of apps in this category, like building a very simple app that allows a user to have multiple signatures. And so I can insert one signature for one set of clients that I respond to, or a different signature for other customers or clients. You can imagine a meeting booking app or workspace booking app, so that if I'm going to have a meeting with a customer downtown somewhere away from my offices, I could just use this app to find a new conference room and then book it right there from as I'm booking my event. So as I'm saying this is the start and the end time, open this app, select, and it can dynamically show me the conferences that are going to be available at that time. I just click the book button, and then I'm done. Or you can imagine a hierarchical address book. And for some of our partners and customers, especially in Asia, this is extremely important. Their preference is not to type in the email address in the to line, but rather to find the right person in the organization, click to add them straight to the message. You can also think about template messages and meetings, and there is a whole set of very powerful, very streamlined scenarios available there as well. So one example would be that you can create a message based off of a template. And I showed that to you guys with my templates and that announcement mail. But you can imagine a variety of different scenarios, from marketing newsletters to actually maybe some sort of an invoice that I'm creating. You could imagine an app that connects a financial service backend to your Outlook, so that if I'm communicating with a customer and I need to send them an invoice, I create this app that makes a call to the backend, figures out who I'm sending message to, makes a call to the backend, says generate the invoice for this person, and then sends back the attachment. Rather, it tells Exchange, hey, attach the invoice. It's located on this URL. And this is all with a click of a button, like right out of Outlook, right out of my phone. If I'm about to board the airplane, can open the app, click a button, and have all of this generated and added for me, and have all of this work handled on my behalf. And the richness of HTML really enables you to create much richer content messages and send them out much easier. You no longer have to craft them in Word, copy and paste. You don't have to go use some HTML website out there. You can just do it all in Outlook that you're used to doing. And finally, we can also think of scenarios around workflows. And this is where we pull in SharePoint as well. So you can, we talked about document signing scenarios, but you can imagine in the same vein, like a scenario around requesting approval for a marketing campaign. So maybe I need to have my documents, my marketing documents, approved by very specific people in the marketing organization. And maybe they need to do it in order. One person has to sign or approve first, and then it goes to the final approver. So you have the interim and the final approver. And there might be a SharePoint workflow around that. Well, rather than leaving Outlook and going into SharePoint and creating this all there, I can just do it straight out of Outlook with a quick click of a button. And then in the message, I just say, hey, by the way, I just sent you a request for approval. And then when that person gets it, you could have a read app on their side, activate it, and just let the person approve, yes or no. It's very streamlined productivity. And finally, you could also imagine a scenario where I really want to record the current conversation maybe the current conversation is about some really interesting idea that would really help my company. In that case, maybe I want to save it off into SharePoint so that I could refer to it back in the future, maybe during planning or some other instances. You can do that with a Compose app. As I'm typing up a response to someone and I realize, hey, we have something here. We have something really interesting. I don't want to lose this idea. And just with a click of a button, just go off and save it into OneDrive or into SharePoint, save the entire conversation, and to really make sure we don't lose this idea. Or maybe I share it out with people. These are the kinds of things that are possible. So now I encourage you to take a look at our documentation. It's up on that link. All my demo code will be posted to Yammer discussion right after the session. We have a number of related talks. We have the Unplugged panel actually going on today, and there will be multiple representatives from the extensibility team there, so you can ask us any extensibility questions, not just mail apps. The 301 talk was really interesting. It talked about connecting to Exchange using OData and also shows how to provision a web server app using Azure Active Directory. And there's one more talk this afternoon on building a business process app, and that's going to show, again, multiple component app that's involved with mobile and the mail app and also web server aspect to it as well. So with that, thank you very much. Check out our documentation and go build some awesome apps. Thanks, guys. We have about 10 minutes for questions, so you guys can come up to the microphone, or you can come up to me. Either one works. Yeah?
You mentioned that it's available for iPhone, OWA. Is it also released for Android?
It's available there. We just announced Android yesterday. So, yes, OWA is coming for Android.
Yeah, and it is available in this version also.
Yes. Any other questions? Okay. Well, I'll still be here for a little bit, so just feel free to come up to me then.